Utahns crowd into Governor Herbert's Capitol office demanding clean air. The LDS Church weighs in on Boy Scouts and gays. And local political and environmental leaders give their take on President Obama's new Secretary of the Interior appointment. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Thursday, February 7th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Utah citizens and activists gathered on the steps of the Capitol Wednesday to demand action to clean up the state's polluted air. The rally was part of a grassroots campaign which flooded the governor's office with calls and emails and delivered a petition with more than 7,500 signatures. KUER's Andrea Smartin has more.
Carl Ingwell is a University of Utah student who says he's tired of complaining about Utah's polluted air. So he started a Facebook campaign urging people to inundate the Utah governor's office with calls and emails demanding action. His campaign led him to the steps of the Capitol, speaking to about 150 concerned citizens.
This problem will be solved by people, individuals like you and me. It'll be solved by corporations stepping in and doing their share, and it'll be solved by policy change at the governmental level. That's what we're asking for.
Four Democratic legislators spoke in support of the group's efforts at the rally. Afterwards, the group flooded into Governor Gary Herbert's office to deliver a petition signed by more than 7,500 people. The petition asks the governor to declare a public health emergency. It also advises the governor to lower speed limits, offer free public transportation, and require industrial polluters to lower emissions. The governor was in Washington, D.C. today, but Herbert said via Twitter that everyone is responsible for cleaning up Utah's air. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The national leadership of the Boy Scouts of America has put off a decision on allowing gays as scout members or leaders, and a legal question could be part of what's holding that up. In 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the Boy Scouts of America are within their First Amendment rights to exclude homosexuals from membership or leadership. Stan Rasmussen with the conservative Sutherland Institute says the situation could change if the national organization puts that option in the hands of individual scout sponsors, such as churches or civic groups.
What they're saying is to the local units, you can make that decision, but just understand, you don't have our backing. We're not with you. And by the way, the Supreme Court protection goes away, too.
University of Utah law professor Cliff Roski, though, says that reasoning is just wrong.
And if someone were to try to enforce an anti-discrimination law against that group, they would cite the United States Supreme Court case, and that would pretty much be the end of the matter. I think litigation costs would be minimal. The claim would be dismissed.
Utah's local Boy Scout councils were among 33 nationwide that asked the national board to delay its decision.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints says it was wise for the Boy Scouts of America to delay a decision on admitting gays to membership and leadership positions. It issued a statement yesterday afternoon following a decision by the Scouts' national leadership. The church is the largest sponsor of scouting in the country. In a statement issued yesterday, the church also cautioned other groups and individuals not to speculate about its position or to assume that individual Mormons are speaking for the church when they express opinions on the issue. President Obama's appointment of a new Secretary of the Interior is winning qualified praise from environmentalists and at least one member of the Utah congressional delegation. KUER's Dan Bomas has the story.
The president picked Sally Jewell, the top executive of REI, the outdoor equipment retailer, to replace Ken Salazar. Tim Wagner with the Sierra Club says that's a good choice.
She obviously has demonstrated a real knack for a business in the outdoor recreation industry. Heading up REI, which has always been a big supporter of a lot of the things that we support.
Republican Congressman Rob Bishop, who chairs the House Public Lands Subcommittee, says it also seems like a good appointment.
As long as her decisions in the future that Department of Interior take in the multiple users and the multiple resources and the multiple obligations of it.
Jewell also won praise from the drilling industry trade group Western Energy Alliance and the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, which called her an impressive nominee. Utah Governor Gary Herbert told a meeting at the American Enterprise Institute in Washington yesterday that Utah will not enforce the individual mandate of the Affordable Care Act. He says, well, they're trying to comply with the law. The state reserves the right to tailor health care reform to its own liking.
But there are what we call red lines that we will not cross over as a state. It's our exchange. We have a right to run it how we see fit. We are not taking federal money. There are no strings. It's our exchange.
Herbert also mentioned his concerns with the growing costs of Medicaid and said Utah will continue to control its own eligibility standards for that program. The American Enterprise Institution is a conservative public policy think tank based in Washington, D.C. The Utah House of Representatives passed a bill yesterday that would expand the number of highway areas in the state that post a speed limit of 80 miles an hour. Republican State Representative James Dunnigan of Taylorsville is the sponsor of House Bill 83. His proposal would add 80-mile-an-hour stretches on I-15 between Brigham City and the Idaho border and I-80 between Wendover and Grantsville. Gunnison says the high speed limit will be posted only where it's safe.
I want to point out that we do not anticipate that the entire stretch of these segments will be 80 miles per hour, but only those areas that we feel the road is geometrically designed and can handle it.
Democratic Representative Joel Briscoe of Salt Lake voiced his concern for the increased emissions generated by cars going faster, used his wife's asthma as an example of the effects of dirty air.
And she's listening to news reports saying on bad air days, we ought to lower the speed limit on the interstates to 55. I appreciate the statistics, Representative, you've given to us about the safety factor. What confidence can you give me that 80 miles an hour will make for cleaner air?
Dunnigan told the body the higher speed limits will not be posted in areas along the Wasatch Front where the air quality is the worst during winter inversions. The bill passed the House on a vote of 69-5 and now moves on to the Senate for consideration.
A Utah House committee has endorsed a measure that would alert Medicaid and Children's Health Insurance Program participants that their personal information will be stored in state databases. The measure comes after two recent security breaches, including one in which personal data of about 780,000 people was compromised. South Salt Lake police say Larry Allman's car was between the crossing arms at 200 West and 2950 South when it was hit by a train and he was killed. Allman was 57. Investigators say they don't know why the car ended up on the tracks. UTA says train traffic was stopped for several hours after the accident around 10:30 Wednesday morning. Passengers were transported around the scene by bus.
The new Leonardo Museum in Salt Lake City welcomed mummies from all over the world yesterday. They arrived in 8 tractor-trailer rigs. Dr. Heather Gill Frerking says visitors will be surprised to learn that these mummies aren't considered lifeless.
They may not be breathing, but they're still people, and that's how we have to treat them. This could be anybody that you know. This was somebody's son, somebody's mother, somebody's husband. And so it's really important to see them as people, to treat them as people, and we work very hard to do that here.
And she says the mummies are family friendly.
The kids are the ones who go to the baby crocodile and see the little teeth, or they see the toes on the baby mummies. They see the little things, so pay attention to what your kids are seeing because they see all the coolest stuff.
The Mummies of the World exhibition opens Saturday, February 16th, and more information is available at theleonardo.org.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Thursday, February 7th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, check out our new free smartphone app that you can download for your iPhone or Android device. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.